Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson for Power AfterBuzz TV for season 6, episode 6, titled Inside Man. Special guest is in the building, Mike Dopehood. I said it right.
Yeah.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Big rich town.
Hey.
Come on,
hit
Joe
the
Jr.
Bogey.
Hey. I just come from the poorest part.
Hey, y'all like that harmony?
Bright like city lights. I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
Whoa. Hey. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
There we go.
What's up, everybody? We're back. We have a special guest. I'm going to introduce the panel to you. To my left,
Jill Monroe. What's up, everybody? I'm Robin Ayers.
It's your boy, Jimmy V.
And he plays the character of Jason Misick. Please welcome to AfterBuzz, Mike Dopehood.
There you go.
Welcome.
But I will say it's Jason Mitchich.
That's right.
Mitchich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mitchich.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's about his money.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Really quick, what do you think about the theme song? Did you like
the
new one?
You don't know how many people called me or would text me or email me and say, they've got to change the song. They have to keep the original. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. Even my wife was like, it doesn't make me like the show as much as it before.
Wow.
No. See? Your wife knows what's up.
Yeah.
She knows what's up.
It set a vibe.
I know. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, top of the show, it's revealed that Tariq planned the entire kidding and the kidnapping.
Shout out to Robin.
Yes.
I mean.
And,
you guessed it.
And they're going to split the $2 million. Are you shocked Tariq did this?
Well, you know what's funny? Remember, it wasn't until probably the latter part of our episode that this revelation came that he was pulling this whole thing together. So I think initially I would have been shocked, but then I think after that revelation, I'm like, why wouldn't he, kind of get this whole thing together, this whole plan? So yeah, I wasn't shocked. What about you guys?
I remember speaking with Michael Rainey at the carpet, and he specifically said about his character, it's all about himself. This season. With that said, I knew he would do some lowball stuff, but I didn't know he would set up his own family.
Man.
So I was hurt, but at the end of the day, Tariq is clearly not the character that we've seen.
Did you say you were hurt?
Before. Yes, I was hurt. How you gonna do that to your own parents, man? One, you know.
Well, wait till the finale when he kills his daddy.
Oh man.
Lord, is that what
everybody's always being killed by Bam?
I'm like, what happened?
Bam kills somebody. He killed Dre off 3 episodes ago.
He's done killed Tate. I mean, just about everybody.
Yeah.
Bam has killed off.
You haven't been killed off yet. Though.
Oh, no.
He has a date for you though.
Oh, yes.
It's coming.
You're not the only one.
Okay, so Ghost and Tommy. So after it's revealed that Tariq and Vincent set this up, so they're outside and they're talking and Tommy says, "Let's get one thing straight. If I come on board with you, I'm working with you, not for you." And then Tommy reveals that he knew that Tariq was selling drugs and told him not to do it. And then he says, "You're right. We're not boys. We're brothers. So I'm asking you, can you help me?" Again, the brothers have come up again, and it's been this
roller coaster.
This roller coaster. Yeah. And I said something a couple episodes ago about how Kate mentioned raising a black son, and then I thought about it. We don't really know much about Ghost in his past, so this brothers thing is coming up.
You're making that connection, yeah, right?
They're
right,
real
right.
brothers, not just brothers growing up.
Not future brothers. They're real brothers. Okay.
Or. or, you know, Mrs. Eakin, you know, did raise him, and maybe, you know, she was with the dad.
Like a
yeah.
son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But something I feel like is coming from that.
You think it's bigger than just friendship?
I have to agree with you. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, I know they grew up together, and I think that's the main thing, and that's where they're brothers. I don't know if they're blood related, but they're as close to being blood related mm-hmm. as can be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I liked it. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's Ghost and Tommy, y'all. Mm-hmm.
Like, right, right. We've seen this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This power without Ghost and Tommy, and I understand you have, I mean, it's power. Everybody's going to struggle for the power and pull and all of that stuff, but that's why this episode made me feel so good, because everybody came back together. True. You know, you had the Lakeisha and Tasha, but they had to come together. You had Tommy and Ghost, but they had to come back together, so it felt good, even though it may not last long.
Which is a great example of you don't let your emotions get in between when business has to get done, which I'm sure you know all about getting the business done.
That's right.
Right.
But one person who does not know how to keep his emotions really quickly is this Tate and Ghost. So after it's revealed that the two of them are going to start selling drugs and get the $2 million within 24 hours, he goes to Tate and says, hey, I need you to loan me $1 million. And now Rashad Tate is he's like this child now, where he's pouting all the time.
Yes, yes.
And for me, it's annoying. I wish he would have been dead a couple episodes ago, but it is becoming quite annoying. But, you know, the one thing that you have to give Ghost is that Ghost knows he's always in control, even when he's not in control. And so I just like the fact of how he was like, no, this is what you're going to do. I have the video from Alphonse, and you're basically going to do what I'm going to do. And then you see him go to the phone, and he makes a call.
Mm-hmm. Make some calls, yeah.
Yeah.
Blackmail.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but you have leverage in order to make moves. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Once again, this is power, right?
Speaking of leverage, mm-hmm. now let's go to Jason. Now pronounce it Jason.
Mitchich.
Mitchich.
Okay, Mitchich. So Tommy brings a check to Jason. Mm-hmm. Jason immediately has red flags. He's asking questions, and he plays it cool, and he was like, Tommy, you're right.
I feel like Jason is too invested. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. who cares? You have $2 million, it's clean, take your drugs and go.
Because Tommy says, do you really care as long as you get your money?
He's too involved in Tommy and Ghost. I've always felt that way.
I agree, but I...
Because he's a psychopath.
Yes, I agree, but I agree with Jason in this instance. You have to remember, Tommy is a drug dealer. Tommy distributes his drug to two-bit hustlers, you know what I'm saying? So, like, he's not distributing his drugs to, like, you know, using Hollywood or something.
But you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Come on.
Here's the thing. They had to start somewhere. Ghost started at the exact same place Tommy did. Then Ghost elevated. He didn't want to use his clubs, but his club. I mean, there's all sorts of things. I don't understand why Jason is so upset if Ghost and Tommy make up.
Okay, that I agree with, but I do feel like Jason had a right to question why is he cleaning out his entire warehouse full of drugs, because you don't know where the drugs are going to be distributed to.
Well, the big thing about that is, you know, if you're selling so much product, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you're asking for triple or quadruple that amount, that raises flags. He's a businessman. Jason's a very smart businessman. He knows what everything is accounted for. So for him, and he's got to answer to himself and to the other powers that be as far as where all this is getting moved and why he has to get so much in, so much product in. So I think that's why he questions Tommy, because it's something completely different. He's just on point. He's always ready for anything.
Now, for the writing, I felt some type of way, because later on in the episode, obviously, you step to them for something that's owed.
Yes.
Why didn't he confront them at that point, saying, oh, this check, it should be for what you already owe me? Like, why wait until later on?
Good question, Jimmy V.
Because I think he was going to give some time to it, but then he heard through his intel that he has, that's how he knows where everybody is all the time, mm-hmm. That Ghost and Tommy are together. And that's what sets him off. You have to understand, he's from day one, he said, I don't want Ghost involved. Uh-huh. And then Ghost is involved, and he's like, fine, I'll try to deal with it. But then this season, he sort of turned it around saying, wait, let me see if I can use Ghost. But he doesn't want to use them together, per se.
I think he likes toying with them.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe part of him does. Maybe part of Jason enjoys that. Look, he's in a power position.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Right? And anybody that's in a power position like that, especially in the criminal world, they don't mind some of that. They have that bravado. They have some of that about them. Mm-hmm. So I think they want, you know, they want to enforce their power, so to speak, or being able to put their thumb on them, you know. And I think that's one of the big things that Jason likes to do with them. But he also doesn't like to be lied to.
Yeah. And speaking of power, season 4 compared to season 5, you've got a lot more power. Do you approach the character the same way as you did in season 4?
Yes, the way it was...
I mean, season 5?
Season 6, yeah. For me, when I first came on, that was... Speaking with Gary Lennon, because he was there my first day, and we really discussed where this character was going. He was a big realtor. He's a big money guy from day one. He always had this money, always had this power. Yeah. But he's just expanding. So he had his serbs already in New York, but he wanted to expand that on that. You know, all these guys that are in these power positions, so to speak, they all want to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Right. And when everything's going well. So I just think he's more invested in New York now with Ghost and Tommy because he sees some potential that Jason wouldn't do anything if he didn't see there was going to be a big monetary value to it. Mm-hmm.
Right. Kwame MB in the live chat, he says Jason wants to control Tommy more because he knows Tommy is easier to control than Ghost. Is there truth to that? Mm-hmm.
Somewhat, absolutely. Yeah. I really believe that Jason really likes Tommy. Mm-hmm. He's got a fondness for him. Maybe he sees a bit of himself in Tommy. But with Ghost, he didn't like him. But now Ghost is showing that he's realizing, wow, Ghost knows what he's doing as well. Right.
I also think because two episodes ago when your character confronted mm-hmm. Ghost to the club and he basically was like, kill me, what you gonna do? Like, I'm not doing it. So I felt like I feel like a person of Jason's character always respects the one who stands up to them versus the one who they can bully. And I feel like he now respects Ghost more than he does Tommy, and that he uses Tommy kinda as his pawn.
He might. It's a tricky relationship, mm-hmm. right? Because don't forget also, he knows all about Tommy and what Tommy's capable of as well. And the thing I believe with Jason is that he thinks Tommy's a bit of a loose cannon, which Tommy is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he sort of feels on an equal level with Ghost. And mm-hmm. feels like he can relate with him maybe a little bit better. But he's got a fondness for Tommy. So that's where the relationship gets really tricky here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So really quickly, so we're going to move forward and come back again. So Ghost gets Dre and Alphonse to work together to push the drugs in return to get close to potentially be a distributor,
distro
for Jason. So now we have Tommy and 2-Bit Spanky and Black Grimace. And so did 2-Bit Spanky have a right to not want to work for free?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. You're risking your freedom. You're risking your life. I don't know what you have going on. You don't want to let me in. Pay me my money, man.
Okay, so do you guys notice how Black Grimace and 2-Bit are really, clashing. Really... I mean, yeah. I feel like something
Company
is about
ass.
To pop off with them.
Yeah,
just yeah. No, but shout out to Spanky. He is just hilarious. I mean, I love the comedic relief that he always brings. And then we learned, I guess, when... what was that? Three episodes ago when... Black Grimace,
Avery,
when he came in or when he Skyped in, that there's a lot of what do you call it, improv and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I don't know how much of that was improvisation, but it was pretty good.
I'm going to disagree. I do understand 2-Bit and I do understand their perspective, but what annoys me about this, it was cute in the beginning, you know, the banter, but now all of this freaking comic relief, Tommy is not. His character is not happy with all of this banter. So it's like, sometimes shut the F up and do what you're asked. When you are in this time, I'm sorry, but when this is not Fortune 500 where you have health benefits and so forth. Your life is on danger at all times. And
exactly why they should get their money up front.
But the type of guy Tommy is like Black Grimace says, pay me later. Tommy's good for it. Tommy's going to look out for them. So it would not have killed them to shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. I will say the banter has been very repetitive that I did notice.
And you don't like it.
It's starting to wear. It's still funny because I like to always laugh, of course.
Yeah.
But as far as your point about working, they're in that business to make money. So I'm not going to lift a finger unless I know I'm going to get my bag.
It was 24 hours.
I got to disagree. Okay. I disagree because I get it. I understand the dynamics between everybody. Tommy is the head honcho and all of that, and he's got his workers. But at the same time, that's what this is. I mean, this is a team. This is, you know, it's sort of like they put their lives on the line at times. You know what I'm saying? So it is. I understood when BG, as they call him, where he was like, you know what, I'll do it. Just give me later. Like, I get that type of... I mean, that's what it's supposed to be like, right? Yeah.
For him and Tommy, I feel like they have a different sort of relationship, whereas Spanky and Two-Bit are newer to the crew, and they've seen a lot of things change up in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Also, as far as the joking, I do think it's wearing a little thin, but I will say, what else are street guys going to do when they're gathering together? They're not looking at stock tips. They're going to crack on each other. So.
And it does remind me, like, when I'm just kicking in with my boys, we just joke on each other, you know?
That's the point. That's the point. That's why I like it. I mean, whether it's wearing thin or not, that's why I like it. That's who he is. Yeah. You know, it's part of his character. So, I mean, it comes out and I enjoy it.
There was a very important line, though, that I think we do have to address. That's where they did mention you need proof of life concept, because later on in the episode, we do see how crucial that is.
And I have a confession. I actually don't agree. I just wanted to get y'all started. Sergeant Blanca Rodriguez, she has a new friend, Detective McCall. I just really quickly, what's your opinion? Do you like her or not?
Detective McCall did what she needed to do. She showed sympathy to Tariq when he ran that lie. You know, you could see it all in her face. As a black woman, she related to the story he spun. That's all she's there for.
Okay, so it's so... after it's introduced, after they pull James over, basically they're looking for Tariq. So now let's go to Ghost, Tommy, Tasha, LaKeisha. Ghost enters. Keisha says, well, you know, she says, please, what do you want me to say to him, Tommy? This is the same MF who shot your car and thought he killed you. Notice the look over to Ghost that Tommy gave, and now I'm supposed to shut up. So what's your take on LaKeisha and her popping off at the mouth and speaking to Ghost? Just give me one.
Y'all go ahead. Go ahead and take it.
Just like we spoke earlier, LaKeisha's so emotional.
Your face.
Okay? Like, come on, calm down. Did y'all notice later in the episode when the cops were about to come through the daycare, she got so emotional and scared. Oh my gosh, the cops. It's like, calm down, right? So I just think she really needs to control all that. And the extra Two-Bit about her talking to Ghost and I don't mess with y'all, blah, blah, blah. Relax. Let's get the job done. Let's take care of all that after.
What was your take on when Tasha comes in completely pissed about not knowing Tariq was kidnapped? Mm. And then she offers... It's so funny to see how the spark in Tasha's eyes when she found out that Ghost is back selling drugs. I'm not going to drag it this week. But just the look on her face. But what happens is she offers to wash the money. Mm-hmm. And Keisha has the nerve to step in and say no.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Y'all let me know what you think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
LaKeisha is really not about that life.
No.
Right?
Clearly.
She's not about that life. I think she just wants to take her Tommy. She wants to take her cash.
And she wants
to run away. Yeah. However, I mean, she loves Tommy, but he's reeling her in. You know, she'll do whatever she needs to do. Mm-hmm. But it's clear that she's not about that life. And that I think that's where this whole... anger, you know, it's like them, Ghost and Tasha, they're causing all of these issues and they're causing us not to be able to run, you know, to this life that we need. And that's kind of where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. I think that she is out of place because she doesn't really belong there. That's not really what she does. So
I was wondering, how did Tasha know that they were all at Tommy's spot? I know I'm nitpicking here, but, you know.
Well, remember, Ghost doesn't have a place to stay. So she went to... probably went to Tommy to that's
but
a damn
she,
good question. I don't
but
know.
But she came through
Mike,
the door.
Do you
looking for a ghost?
Yeah, she sure did. Do you have what do you think?
That is a really good question. I
She would have talked to Tariq. Tariq may have had some insight as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't. At that point, she didn't talk to Tariq.
She was kidnapped.
You know what, though? But because Vincent told her that Ghost and Tommy were in on this, so she probably knew to go to Tommy, you know?
Even if she wasn't looking for Ghost.
Even if she didn't run into Ghost, she was going to.
Tommy.
Yeah, probably, right?
Yeah. Continuing. So with now. They were in the daycare, and Tasha's watching Keisha do the books. So Keisha's doing the books wrong, okay? So she's not putting certain amounts of, you know, so she's not doing what she's doing, and then Zig stops in to collect the money. And now Keisha wants to talk and have conversations like their best friends.
Irritates me.
Like yeah.
Everything
like, huh?
about that irritates me.
So why is she asking questions, and then why is Tasha answering the questions like they're not friends anymore?
By the way,
Tasha
Mike,
doesn't have anyone to talk to.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
ahead.
I just think that's part of every once in a while when friends, you know, break up, so mm-hmm. to speak, mm-hmm. and then they might have a drink or something will happen, and next thing you know, within 5 minutes they're talking as if everything they hadn't left each other.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I think that's part of that. I think that's what they're trying to show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to know so badly, and I don't even know if you're going to answer this or not. As a viewer, as a fan of the show, because I'm sure you watch, are you Team Tasha or Team Lakeisha? We got to know.
Who
I got to know.
We're asking the hard question.
Oh, man, I can't answer that.
I know. I knew you was going to say that. I knew Come it. On. Okay, but it's all good. It's all good. I know you got to go.
I can't answer that.
Are you Team Ghost or Team Tommy?
Nice, Jimmy. Nice.
I got That's you, a good year. Yeah, I know. I almost said something. Almost, but
it's
not
all
yet.
Good.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
all good.
Okay, it's all good.
Okay, Tasha and Lakeisha go to the strip club, and Epiphany's running. I didn't even recognize her.
Well, it was
Oh,
dark
you didn't recognize Epiphany.
I didn't. You know, she had a new wig. I just...
I mean, is she going to look the same picking her child up from daycare that she does when she's going to do
She looked better at the strip club than she did coming to the to the daycare with that...
Because she doesn't get paid for coming to pick up her child from daycare. That's not based on how attractive she is at the moment.
I'm talking about... Never mind.
By the way, ma'am, you got a lot of heat for talking about Epiphany last week.
You did.
Save yourself, Bam. Is Epiphany? I mean, does she look better? Right? I mean, you still not gonna say nothing to redeem
yourself? Are you still against the character?
Save yourself.
Am I still against the character? It was better. You know, like I said, I just the way that she presented herself at the daycare.
Also, too, it. For me, the way they presented her and the way she was in the scene now, I didn't know she was one of the top girls calling all the shots at the club. I thought she was just one of the workers just barely getting by.
So then why are you so broke?
Yeah, right. If you're calling the shots and you're having all the dancers do all these moves.
Okay.
She's had enough. Give me
the One, let's not the strip club culture, if you know any strip, just because you might get $1,000 in one night, the next night you might get $200. So it's up and down. So why is she broke? It could have been a slow week. You know?
But in addition to that, I mean, she is now in a position where she's selling drugs.
Exactly.
Right?
So she
putting
has
these
a way.
Girls in a position where she's like, we can all
get more money.
And so that's why I think she was shown in that light too, you know?
Because it's a community business.
Get your money, Epiphany. Yeah. Get your money, girl.
It's a community business, you know, and she's putting her coworkers and friends on so everybody makes money together. That's how you uplift a community.
That's how you uplift a community.
Yeah. I Happy didn't family. Say the
Happy
term
family, you know?
Of what they're doing. I said the concept is how you uplift a community.
Cool. Okay, so we see this montage of everybody is selling the drugs.
Yes, which, what was the background song? Dope Boy? Dope Man,
yeah.
Dope Boy. Oh, that was so
good. It was cool. I thought it was a cool montage.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought it was a cool montage up until Dre just goes and stabs the boy.
What's up, Dre? What's up with that, Dre? Yeah.
It would not go down like that.
It wouldn't go down. And then what made me mad.
It looked too smooth.
I understand. Okay, we had to shoot for the shot. We had to understand what Dre was doing. So he had to pull the switchblade out ahead of time so we knew what was up. Yeah. But the dude is looking at Dre like this. Are you about to stab me?
Oh,
and like, speaking you know of the mean? Dude, like, actually, I didn't want to.
And then the corner's burnt because if you stab somebody on the corner, can you go back there and sell drugs anymore?
Now it's hot, right? Now the block is hot. But real quick, the dude that did get stabbed, he looked very familiar. His name is T.J. Adams. He actually plays ODB on Wu-Tang series.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, moving on up in the game. I see you. Okay. Yeah.
And just a quick thing. In the montage, when Tasha was writing the book, she wrote the name Kimberly Jones. That's Little Kim, and she played Little Kim in Notorious. So I just thought that was cool that she wrote the name.
Even after Little Kim was mean to her. But
super mean. Ghost Counts.
I did hear about that. Yeah, she didn't like how she depicted her and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so now let's go back to the drop-off. So they get the $2 million. Okay, they get the $2 million, and now they're getting ready to do the drop-off to Vince.
And who comes swooping up?
But before that, we have to go into the conversation.
The relationship moment.
That's a great moment.
What are we?
So he asks whose truck that he copped. He said it was Graham's. He said some asshole totaled my car. Ghost gives him kind of like that big brother look, and then he decides to ask, what are we doing, Tommy? Do you think we should talk about it? What happens once we get to Tariq? Tommy says, we don't need to talk about it. I know the answer. He was like, okay, you want to enlighten me, Ghost says. And then Tommy says, don't play innocent. Are you packing? And then they're going to deliver the money to Vinton, pick up the kid, and do what we do. Do you feel like at that moment that was the time where they should have had the conversation? Or do you think that, at this point Tommy should just not trust Ghost and just keep doing what he's doing?
I think it was a good time to have the conversation because I think they need to actually know, you know, what goes down after that. I think the vibe of the conversation was pretty funny to me, not to make a joke out of it, but it was like, it's like one of those conversations you're kind of messing with a girl and she's like, so, you know, what are we exactly, you know? I felt like it was like one of those type of conversations, but it did need to actually go down.
It definitely felt like a relationship conversation, couple.
But they're like brothers, right?
Yeah.
Right. Brothers. Robin.
And you know, and sometimes guys have a hard time
expressing
themselves.
Mm-hmm. All right, bro.
I've heard.
Well, what are we doing out here, man? Yeah.
But I think that's what it is. And I think finally Ghost is trying to get through to Tommy and saying, just trying to figure it out. And, right. and I think Tommy realizes that maybe it's past that point. I don't know. But it seems like that's the way I felt it in the car. It's like, it's like, yeah, I still love you, but it's done.
Yeah, what bothers me, I think, which has always bothered me, is the fact that there's so much that they haven't said to one another. It's like if they cleared up so much, if they just sat and had a whole day where they were like, well, this is actually what happened. You thought this, but this is what happened. You know, so much could be cleared up. But to me, that was them talking. You know, they left with a mutual understanding, it felt like. And I do feel like Ghost wants this a little bit more. He wants to, you know, he's the one who brought up the conversation. He said, man, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think he wants to squash it a little bit more. But like Mike was saying, you know, Tommy, I think, maybe feels like, okay, well, what can we do from here?
And a couple of episodes ago, remember Ghost called Tommy and said, we should come together. Jason is playing us both, and we should get together and kill Jason. So, they're trying as best they can to communicate.
I felt Tommy was playing the spoiled little brother, and Ghost was trying to, you know, be the adult or the older brother and try to, you know, ration with him. And Tommy was kind of, you know, pouting. Speaking of pouting, so once the Jason and his crew pulls up, Jason, to me, was in a pouty way. He says, I can't believe you two are working together again. I can't fucking believe. And I said to myself, okay, this is a moment where I actually don't like the Jason character anymore. Because at this point, now let's rock together. Jason, it's more than just a control thing. Now it's something else. It's weird that he's so invested into these two people. And if he knows so much about the history, does he not know that Ghost and Tommy kill all their distros? I mean, they take everybody. It's just, there's something weird about Jason in that scene. He was very
I have a question too, because Jason got the $1 million for the other things, but he's still no further in the knowledge of what they needed the money for, I mean, what they needed the drugs for to begin with and where they're going. So that's why I was just kind of like, there might be something deeper there, because he still didn't get the information.
Yeah.
at least to what we saw.
Yeah, he didn't get the information, but the fact, it's one of those things that it always irks them that they work together. And the reason being, it's not that he just doesn't like Ghost. He doesn't like them together because they're powerful together.
Okay.
Right? If you think about it that way, he knows if they're together in cahoots and everything's going well, it's tougher for Jason to take over. He's got to break these guys down, try to break them down.
They did take out one of his best guys.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the end, look, he does have a lot to lose, because if these guys screw around and make mistakes, his whole empire takes a big hit. If all the distros, all these guys, and if Tommy gets killed or Ghost gets killed, it's going to take time to get other people in there. He doesn't want to kill them right now. He wants to make money. He's a businessman. He really wants to get his money. But there's going to be a point where, you know, where it goes a little too far, or he gets angry. And that was one of the points where he got angry, because he felt like he was lied to.
Fair enough.
Okay. after that, they go to drop the money off to Vincent. They only had $500,000, so Vincent decides to get a bag of oranges and put them into a pillowcase and beat the shit out of Tariq.
This isn't a gangster movie, man.
Right. It says Tommy.
Y'all get that line?
Yeah. Perfect.
Definitely I heard that line. Were you happy that Tariq finally got some kind of,
yes. You are in over your head, yes.
I saw a lot of commentary that said Tariq got the beating that he has deserved.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
He looked shocked, like, wait.
Well, up until that point, he thought he was in control.
Yeah.
Come to find out, nah, you're slipping, brother.
But, you know, this whole, well, obviously the show is all about power, but I felt like in this specific episode, everything was about power. You know, you had the Jason character where he felt when he asked Tommy that question and he knew that Tommy was lying, he was like, okay, I got you. Yeah, sure, everything's okay, cool. Then Wing grabbed his money. So, like, as far as Jason is concerned,
only half.
Well, half. But as he says, your character said something like, you know, this $1 million is for, like, your debt is cleared for the week or the months. Like your debt is cleared up to present. So I felt like that was his power position. So he won in that instance. Mm-hmm. And then Vincent won over Tariq in that instance.
However, go ahead,
Jim. Oh, I was just going to give another example. There was a conversation between Ghost Tay and Ramona earlier in the episode, and that was another struggle of power there. And then Ghost won that one as well.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed throughout all seasons is Ghost is supposed to be that guy, right? Ghost is always in control. James, you know, whoever steps up, whatever guy steps up, if it's Ghost or James,
however he's feeling.
But he's always sort of in power, and even if temporarily he loses that power, he knows what to do to get back on top. And since we are looking at Tariq, or I, you know, so many people have called him, you know, Ghost 2.0 or whatever, since we're looking at that, and though it may look like he has lost power, and temporarily he has, there is, because he's little Ghost, I feel like, and I don't know what's coming up, I mean, we'll get to our predictions and everything, but I feel like there's going to be, how does a person remain in power and never fall? Unless somebody comes to challenge that and they show you why they're in power. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of what we're going to see from Tariq. He's going to, you may have lost this one right now, but I'm going to figure out a way to come back on top. Mm-hmm. I think that's coming.
What are your thoughts? They need more product. So they need more product because
they already got
the product. So they're missing
one. Can't ask Jason for some more.
So, okay, so they need $1 million. And so now Keisha spills about Tasha's connect. What's your thoughts on Ghost upset and says basically that Tasha's foul?
What the fuck, Tasha?
Ghost needs to mind his business. That's once again the control issue. You don't want to be with this woman. You're not giving her any money. Why are you bothered by what she's doing?
Because, as Black Grimace so eloquently put it, he says that with the drug money that they got from Zig, it was only $45,000. And the line that he said was, he said, hold on one second, he said that it had two stars on Yelp, and that the product was not good. If you notice, Tasha even warned Zig about Tommy. The reason that Tasha was fouled in this instance because Tommy and Ghost does need to vet and make sure that this guy is legit.
He is legit. His product was just low quality.
But Tasha didn't know that.
She didn't know that, but here's the thing. She didn't care because it's in the streets and they were still moving it. That's not impacting her, and it really didn't impact Ghost in them until they needed to re-up. They wouldn't have been using Tasha's Connect otherwise.
No, but I still feel like the fact that she is doing this all by herself.
So she should have ran it by Ghost, who doesn't even want her to come upstairs in the penthouse? Why?
You sound, by the way, like Ghost. And let me tell you why. Yeah. Let me tell you why.
That's
because
cool.
Ghost has a thing about him that almost wants to put Tasha in her place. He wants her to stay there. He's like, you should be happy with what you have. You should be happy with the lifestyle, and does not want her to do anything outside of him. So everything, he turns everything on her. Anything that is not in the line of Ghost and things that he think is right, he always turns on Tasha. Think about that. She does it too.
It's a power struggle between the two of them.
So it may be. But right now we are talking about Ghost and Tasha. We're talking about him on her, and the fact that he always has this tendency to say, if he doesn't like something, it's your fault. It's why did you do this? How come you didn't come to me? Like, he needs to pull that power play all the time. So yes, you do sound like Ghost.
Ghost 3.0 over here.
That is quite fine, and I'm going to keep moving on.
So the fundraiser.
So they don't got the money, so they need another option.
But hey, Lakeisha came in handy, right? Lakeisha said, listen, what if something happens to Tariq? You guys aren't thinking about that. So it gave them the bright idea.
A twofold plan, actually.
Yeah.
So they go and kidnap
Vincent's guy,
I forget his name. They go and they get him, and they hold him as ransom. And so now they come up with this thing basically to rob the fundraiser at Truth.
Yeah. Which I really liked.
So there we go. Rashad asked James, how did he get the money back? And Ghost looked surprised. How did the money? I was confused.
I was also confused.
They never established it.
Yeah, how was the money? Do you know, Mike?
I don't.
Okay.
To be honest.
Oh, so that's something we can look forward
to. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of Easter eggs. We love them.
So he gives, James gives him the drive with Alphonse. Then Dre brings a product to Alphonse, then says that he's going to get paid either way. Dre questions and snoops around. He sees Two-Bit and Spanky. Did Dre leave because Two-Bit saw him and he didn't want to be killed?
He didn't know. He just knew something was up.
Yeah.
He saw him.
I was very confused.
Yeah. My opinion is that he's working for the feds, but he hasn't come across Dre, etc., and Two-Bit. Dre hasn't come across Two-Bit and Spanky, so he doesn't know what they know, that he's on board with James, any of that stuff. So to him, he's thinking, I could get caught up in something. So
do you guys think that Ghost should have told Dre what was going on?
No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, definitely not. No. No. But so I think that's it. So he got out of there. So the good thing, though, is that Dre doesn't know whether it was a setup or a setup. He doesn't know who the setup came from, even if he knows, because he's still dangerous.
And I do agree that it was good that he was out of there and what, you know. So Alphonse now was selling drugs to the security guard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand that.
I was confused as well. Well, he did say, I'm going to get my money
regardless,
matter what. So maybe that's what he was referring to.
Mm-hmm. He could still get money, get more money, and then get more money.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what was you guys' take on
the whole shaman?
The whole thing.
I mean, it was a fun caper heist, you know? It was like, I felt like, oh, we're getting a little Ocean's 11 in the middle of power.
It was fun. It was really fun, but I do think that they should have had someone else. I mean, I understand for the storyline that Alphonse needed to die in this episode, but I think they should have had, like, someone who's never come in contact with Councilman Tate as the front man. Mm-hmm. Would have made much more sense? And then Alphonse definitely pissed me off, because they could have gotten out of there. He was
doing my thing. I actually know you from somewhere. What does that matter? Get out of there. This ain't the time. You're gonna spark up a conversation during the robbery.
It was almost like his weed was laced
or something. I wasn't mad that Councilman Tate recognized Alphonse, because I also think that even though he knows that that's James's guy now, it still leaves a layer of, well, maybe this is a stick-up kid from the hood. Maybe just, you know, just all types of things that could have played into it. But it turned out well for everybody.
So do you think that, well, obviously Ghost wanted Rashad Tate to be the hero. Do you think that Ghost set this up just to kill Alphonse?
No.
That's a great question.
Ghost. I don't think so.
Mike, what do you think?
I don't think so. Too many things go wrong, I think, for him to. But that's a great way to put it, though. Yeah. I mean,
I thought Alphonse went off script and James gave the gun to Tate. I didn't think that he even thought that Tate was going to have to use it. I thought that he was thinking that he was going to talk to him like, I'm talking to a perp, but I'm talking to you, you know, so that maybe it clicks in, like, into his eye. Yeah. But it didn't. And we found out a lot of backstory about Tate in this episode that he was a cop.
About to mention, he was a cop. So I think that's why Ghost even passed the gun off to him, because he knew if somebody has to shoot him, why not make it Tate, who is a former cop, so he knows he's going to hit his mark. Yeah.
And could possibly be caring.
Right. And don't forget, right, Ghost is always on point. He's thinking one step ahead of everybody else. He's really good in a bad situation. He figures out how to get out of it. Right? And so I think that's exactly what happened. I think he said, oh, an opportunity just came up. If I give him the gun, oh, if he does shoot him or if he does talk him down, either way, he wins.
Yeah.
And Tate looks like the hero.
And Tate looks like
the
hero.
And that's exactly what Ghost wanted.
Yeah. I like that part. I just thought that it was a waste of a murder for Alphonse. Like, just, it was a waste. They could have used that to kill Tate or, like, a bigger character.
I don't see a reason for Tate to die. I don't know why you're pushing for that for so much. Having a governor in somebody's pocket seems to be a pretty valuable chess piece on the board.
That's a good card. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Shout out to Tasha. James, please give it to him.
And shout out to Ramona because she peeped game. I liked when he was being interviewed and she peeped game. I'm not sure if she thinks, I know she believes that Ghost is involved and possibly set it up. Not sure if she thinks they're together, but I like that she's peeping what's going on, and she might be another one that is getting sucked in by, well, we know she's sucked in with James's charm, but getting caught up in, he has a plan. I'm going to follow this man, just like Angela.
Super quickly, you guys still don't think that Ramona and Tate had something going on?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm going to leave it alone.
Tate is trying to holler, but I think Ghost is in the way of that.
Oh, okay, so you think he's trying to,
I think, I don't know. But I
recognize
game. But speaking of peeping game, you have to give it to Blanca Rodriguez because she's always on it. So when Ghost and Tasha, you know, call Vincent to set up so that Tariq can go and speak to the police, Tasha brings them over, and Blanca, every time Tasha makes a move that we know is to be false, Blanca's right there. So really quick, what's your take on Tariq lying to Detective McCall and Blanca Rodriguez about the murder?
Tariq is Ghost. Tariq is like Ghost. Ahead. I mean, he knows what to do. Look how fast he came up with this absurd story, you know, to get himself out of it. But will it come back on him is the question.
I just said he is such a great actor, you know, because he made me believe, you know, I'm so tired of all these killings. I'm like, oh, let him go. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that it was dope.
And so the return of Tariq. So when they went to return Tariq earlier in the episode, Ghost goes and speaks with Cousin Benny and lets him know that he was possibly murdered by Igor.
Proctor
was murdered by Igor because he was going to testify against him in a
sex trafficking trial.
So he then Benny was like, if you need a favor, I got you. So then he shows up and he saves.
Got you.
Yeah, he basically he goes up to Vincent and says, hey, listen, so, like, if you got your money, this is it. You do anything else, basically, I'll kill you.
And shout out again to Dominic Lombardozzi. Like, he and his team pulled up like a boss.
Right.
Like bosses. I mean, I just love anytime something like that is involved. I'm like, yes, go. I just love it.
Almost like Jason style. I love Dominic.
Really quick on that scene, since we're kind of jump ahead because we're pressed for time. The conversation when Dominic says, you know, that they're protected for life. When Benny says that Ghost and Tariq are protected for life because they held it down, I feel like Ghost is the only one that didn't know what was going on there. Like, to me, it was clear. Benny knows that it was Tommy that killed Proctor. Tommy now knows, okay, Benny knows I killed Proctor. Only Ghost was like, wait, starting to put things together.
How does
Benny
know?
So you think Benny knows?
I think Benny knows because of the conversation he had with Proctor before he went to Ghost House. He said he was thinking about turning on Tommy. He also mentioned the that he was scared of Tommy, that Tommy kind of intimidated him. Benny wanted to get involved. He said, no, I don't want you to go to jail. He could have gone to the family, but he wanted, you know, he's been distancing himself from that for quite some time in order to, you know, make his law career somewhat legit. So I feel like Benny knows. I feel like
that's
the other information was good, but I feel like Benny knows.
Yeah, and also the fact that Tariq is the one who dropped off Elisa Marie. there's a tie. I mean, he sees that Tariq is close with Tommy, obviously, and even in that scene, like, I think you're right about that, like him putting two and two together.
But I still think he might kill Tommy. Anyway.
Yeah. Final thing before we ask some questions about you. So so Ghost and Tasha know about what Tariq did and how he set it up. And so now you see that Tommy, now you start to see that Ghost and Tasha are possibly now going to be the duo because now they know what Tariq did. Mm-hmm. Just any comments?
Mm-hmm. As it should be.
Okay, so moving forward, so Mike. Okay, so
Mike!
How'd you get this role?
Old school way. Mm-hmm. I auditioned for it. Mm-hmm. I was doing a play in Ottawa, actually, in Ontario, in Canada, and I got the call while I was there. And my play was finishing on a Thursday night. And then I had to fly out Friday, and I started Monday.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you know if the fact that you speak multiple languages, did that help you land the role?
I think so. I would imagine so.
Which is, for the viewers, French and
Serbian.
Serbian.
And English.
And English, right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you auditioned, were you a fan of Power? Were you watching?
I had watched a couple episodes. I just found out about Power because when I'm up in Canada, I wasn't able to see it. We couldn't get it. And then somebody had told me about it, and I watched some of it on iTunes. And then I had read a character breakdown before my agent was trying to get me in for it. He goes, like, the show Power, take a look at it. And I said, oh, okay, I like this show. Which is great, right?
You had a really extensive background in being a stuntman, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So dope.
Okay. I'm curious. Are we going to see any of your stunts? are you going to pull anything out for Power?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what. There might be something, but I don't know. They don't really. You know, it's funny because nobody really knows that unless you research my stuff that I've done that or.
Which too,
right?
You've been set on fire. You've been hit by a car. You've been thrown off buildings, thrown through windows. So, do you enjoy the stunt stuff more than the acting side, or
no,
which one?
No, I mean, like no. Acting side. I always wanted to be an actor, and when my sports career was done in early retirement,
tell them what sport.
Yeah, tell them.
I played hockey and football. Played hockey in the East Coast Hockey League, which is a farm system for the Chicago Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Played for the Columbus Chill, and then I also played football in the Canadian Football League. But I played at Southern Illinois University. I'm a Saluki.
Saluki.
There you go.
What position?
Running back.
Power through.
I was. It's true. It's funny because being from Montreal, it didn't matter to me, but everybody would always tell me, you're the only white guy in the conference. I'm like, what? Really? It just didn't dawn on me, you know, coming from Canada. But
Right.
And the career went okay and cut short a couple knee injuries and that, but I still find it successful, and I always wanted to be an actor. I did the corporate world, but then I started delving into acting, and because of my background, you know, and my physicality with pro sports, next thing you know, bumped into some people that were like, have you ever thought about stunt work? Mm-hmm. And I said, love to. I just wanted to be in the film industry, whatever way to get in.
Mm-hmm. You'll do it, yeah.
And I was studying at the time, too, and I did a couple acting gigs, little small, you know, one-line roles here and there. And then stunt-wise, my career took off quickly. Mm-hmm. I started working on all the big movies that were shooting up in Canada, and then I decided to move down here and make it a go of it down here, and then my acting career started taking off down here. So
you have over 200.
His resume's lit.
Thanks.
Yeah, The Predator, Deadpool 2, SWAT.
Yeah.
X-Men.
I mean,
there's just so on and on.
You've worked with Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, Vin Diesel, Will Smith. Out of all those, who's been the who did you have the best time working with?
Oh, that's a hard question. I'm lucky. I have to tell you something that working with all these guys, they've always been professional and great. The Rock was awesome. Jason Statham was awesome. I've done a couple of things with Jason. Great. Respectful, nice. Jason did something to me that was great. We're working on a movie called In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale. And I had a moment there where our second unit director, I don't care, because I told him to his face. So he was rushing me, and I'm sitting there going, this is the moment you guys are rushing. And Jason, being the number one lead of the show, most guys wouldn't say anything. He came up to me and says, no, you fight for it. You don't let him take. This is your hero moment. He goes, I guarantee you it'll be in the movie. And so I said, you know, I'm taking my time. I don't care. And he yelled. The director yelled, got pissed off at me, and I was like, I don't care.
Nice.
And guess what's in the movie?
Nice. That's there you go.
So
nice.
I respect Jason for doing something like that because he didn't have to, and he's the number one. He doesn't want to take the camera away from him. And that was a moment where he could have done that, and he didn't.
Wow.
So,
okay. Well, we don't know what's going to happen, obviously, with your character in Power. According to Bam, you are going to be – Jason will be killed off. We don't know yet. But after, we know that this is the final season of Power.
Yes.
But you must have some other things that you're working on because you're always working. So what's to come for you?
Well, right now we're just looking at different things. To be honest with you, nothing lined up right now at this moment. But that's another reason why I've got a bunch of meetings this week and had a great one last week, a couple great ones last week. And we're just, my agents and my reps want me to focus on a couple other things. So we're just waiting to see
what comes up.
As Robin mentioned to you, we have a live chat room. So we had a bunch of people in there. Can you just give a shout out to the Power After Show live chat?
Yeah, sure. Like, now?
They're watching right now.
Hey, thanks, guys, for watching Power After Show After Buzz TV. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
And there's been tons of comments like Flavor Flex on IG, and a bunch of people had a bunch of questions, and I'm sorry we weren't able to get to them, but we had a lot to discuss. So, thank you to everyone from the live chat who's DM'd us, who tweeted us, having questions for Mike. So thank you so much. Where can you be found on social media?
You can find me at Dope with Mike on Twitter and on Instagram.
And then one final thing.
Yeah.
What can you tell us? Power, AfterBuzz TV exclusive. What can we expect from the rest of the season from Jason or Ghost, or just tell us anything?
To not blow this.
Right.
But Jason and Ghost and Tommy's relationship gets really interesting.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're holding to that. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Okay. We appreciate you so much for taking the time to come in, sit with us. There are so many comments in here that says, I love Jason. They're obviously loving your character. We appreciate
you. Thank
you.
Thanks, guys.
For the viewers, we did a sit-down segment with the actor who played Alphonse. His name is Patrick Walker. That interview was put up on the AfterBuzz channel. If you want to go check that out, go do that. And if we could get him in the green screen room, maybe we can answer the questions the chat room asked, if you have time.
Well, sure.
That will be great. So we don't have time to do all of the goodbye. Yep. So we just want to say thank you, guys. Next week we have another guest for you guys. Thank you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.